We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Big Screen Sports is brought to you by Blue Wire's new show, On the Hook with Abner Mares. Abner Mares is a world champion boxer, Olympian sports commentator, and most importantly, dad to two little girls. Beloved by abuelas and hardcore fans alike, Abner is a pro at entertaining the world both in and out of the ring. On Blue Wire's new podcast, On the Hook with Abner Mares, we'll hear from his Abner, his family, fellow athletes, and other people who made the boxer the man he is. He'll talk about the state of boxing, his journey from a kid on the streets to a boxing champ, sports, music, culture, and family life. Listen to On the Hook with Abner Mares wherever you get your podcast. Episodes in English out on Tuesdays and episodes in Spanish out on Wednesdays.
Blue Wire.
All right, welcome back to Big Screen Sports, the sports movie podcast brought to you by Blue Wire Podcast. I am your host, Kyle Bandujo, and today we are getting out of the long intro game. Rate, review, you know the drill. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. But today we've got another episode of Rocktober talking about the Rocky movies the entire month of October. And joining me on this episode, you might have heard his clip from last week's episode when podcasters chimed in about their favorite Rocky movies. It's Double G from the Fight Game podcast. Double G, man, thanks for joining Big Screen Sports.
You don't know how happy I was to see that you were going to cover Rocky for your show, because Rocky is ultimately, I would say, you know, there's been a lot of great franchises. You know, there's the Star Wars franchise, like that's just so huge, and just more recently what Marvel has done. But I go back to Rocky, and that's still my favorite series of movies, adding Creed and Creed 2 in there. So I was so excited to see that you were covering this series.
And it's easily the most famous sports movie franchise. Not many other sports movies. Like, you think there's, you know, there's like the Major Leagues, Mighty Ducks, things like that. But Rocky was kind of the original underdog sports movie, or at least the first new age underdog sports movie. And in doing this podcast, I have gotten more questions, I think, about when are you doing Rocky, when are you covering Rocky, than any other movie, except maybe Moneyball. Get a lot of Moneyball questions about when the Moneyball episode is coming. But I thought there's so much about this series. It is more than just a single good movie and some sequels. There's a lot to unpack. You can kind of trace the sports movie genre all the way back to Rocky. So I think we're going to have a good time today. But before we get into that, tell the folks where they can find Fight Game, and talk about the series you guys did on Rocky earlier this year.
Yeah, Fight Game Media is the website, fightgamemedia.com. And we are a Blue Wire brother to you. Our podcast, the Fight Game podcast, we mostly follow boxing, mixed martial arts, professional wrestling, the day-to-day, the big shows and all that. And what we did over the summer was, because, you know, we were in the pandemic and we're just at, like, trying to figure out something creative to do. I have a buddy who he and I did a series a few years ago. Gosh, like, now we're probably talking like 5 years ago, on four boxers: Sugar Ray Leonard, Marvin Hagler, Roberto Duran, and Thomas Hearns. And so we were trying to figure out how to do this series of special podcasts. it wasn't a disaster because I think the content is good. It just took way longer than we ever thought it would take to finish. And so we said, you know, the next time we do something together, we'll map it out a little bit better and we'll sort of figure it out. And it'll be, you know, it'll be better from a schedule standpoint. And then over the summer, right before the summer started, I reached out to him. I said, okay, I got it. What about Rocky? And he's like, I'm in. So he actually lives in Ireland. So when we would actually do our tapings, it would be Sunday, usually Sunday or Saturday around noon my time. I live on the West Coast, so that he could do his in the evening before he kind of get ready for bed and go to work the next day. So we did it, and it was so great just doing the research, rewatching the movies. It was awesome, and we put them up in the midweek in our Fight Game podcast feed. So if you want to listen to those, you can go back. I'm also putting them on our YouTube channel, sort of every other week or so. I'm putting them up there. But yeah, it was a blast, and just rewatching them, the research, learning things that I didn't really know about the film in doing that research, and just having that conversation about, you know, movies that were really, really close to our hearts. It was just fantastic.
So what we're going to do today, I want to, especially taking into account this project, kind of talk about the Rocky franchise as a whole, you know, the highs, the lows, the things you learn in that, and Fight Games look back. Because kind of like I said, you can look at the sports movie genre, and Rocky has its finger on so much stuff, because you think of, like, and I'm sure this happens a lot in Hollywood pitch meetings, is you think underdog story, you think Rocky, he's the original underdog. And one thing that is a constant in the sports movie genre, even now where big budget sports movies are not getting made as much, you're not really seeing things like Major League or Bull Durham, or even like in Any Given Sunday aren't getting made. If sports content's getting made, a lot of the times it's a TV show or something like that, but they're still making boxing movies. There's a ton of boxing movies. But when you look in this series, how many Rocky movies do you think are in your top five boxing movies? Because it is the most critically acclaimed sports movie genre. Boxing movies account for a majority, I think probably all, I would say 90% of sports movie Oscars are boxing movies.
It's a good question. I would say, obviously, the first one is, you know, the most critically acclaimed in the series. But also, I would say Creed as well. Now, from a rewatchable standpoint, Rocky III is still my favorite rewatchable movie, because I can just sort of walk in at any moment on that film, and I'm right back in, you know, where it was, and I want to watch the rest of it. But I wouldn't say that is the most critically acclaimed film. It's not the best one, but it is like it is just the most digestible one for me to watch over and over and over and over. But I would say at least the first Rocky and the first Creed would definitely be in there. The other thing is I'm also, I'm biased, right? Like, you know, you can watch Raging Bull, Million Dollar Baby. You know, there's tons of other ones, and a lot of ones that are way older than what I've seen. You know, from my dad would tell you about, you know, The Great White Hope and all these other films. But yeah, so I would put those in. But at any point, like if you ask me, like I might put five out of the five in there. You know, even though there are really good. Does When We Were Kings count? Which is a documentary, but is awesome. So you know, it sort of depends on the day for me, like kind of how I'm feeling. But at least those two.
Yeah, I didn't even get into how many good boxing documentaries there are. You mentioned Roberto Duran earlier. They did the No Mas, the 30 for 30 on him, and I didn't know anything about that story going in. I really enjoyed that. But I mean, the thing with like Oscars, like Rocky, the original Rocky wins Best Picture, Million Dollar Baby wins Best Picture. The Fighter wins a couple Oscars for acting. Raging Bull gets De Niro an Oscar. It's pretty loaded. I am a huge Cinderella Man fan.
Mm-hmm. That's a good one.
That, yeah, covered that last year with Michael Montero from Ring Magazine. I've always enjoyed that film. I know it's MMA, but I think of Warriors just kind of in the in the same kind of context as these movies. And Warrior might be my favorite combat sport movie.
Warrior's really good. I remember seeing that like day one in the theater. Here's one for you, because I think this film is a little polarizing because of who the big star is. But what do you think of Will Smith's portrayal of Muhammad Ali in Ali?
It's the closest I think we've gotten to Will Smith getting an Oscar. I think Ali is good. I don't think it's great. It's not in my top five, but I think it's really good. I think there's, I don't want to say it's a problem, but there's something about Will Smith that I feel like he never, maybe not never, but it is tough to take out the, oh, that's Will Smith. There's some actor, like you straight up buy in. With Will Smith, there's always just an air of, okay, this is Will Smith playing someone and not this is that person.
Well, for me, because I go back pretty far with him, when he was a rapper, when he was the Fresh Prince, like that's how I knew him. So anytime I ever saw him in anything, it was, oh, that's the Fresh Prince in this movie. And I think the turn for me was actually Bad Boys with Martin Lawrence. He's still funny in that movie, but Martin's more the comedy and Will's more the kind of like the iconic, you know, actor in that film. He's about, this is like kind of where he makes this is his like visible jump into becoming a star in Bad Boys. But even in Ali, I still sort of was like I can't unsee him as the Fresh Prince no matter what, because Muhammad Ali himself is such an iconic character. So you're having this pop culture phenomenon play an iconic character, and it was this weird mix. And you know, I agree with you. I think it was his best portrayal at that point, but it was still hard. It was still hard to separate him from his prior, you know, life as a goofy comedy actor and as a rapper. Really,
yeah. And for that reason, Ali isn't in my top five boxing movies. I think as far as Rocky movies go for me, I think Creed's in my top five. If you listen to the entire episode last week, Creed is my favorite. I think, you know, objectively, Rocky is the best. It's the most original of all of them. But Creed is the only one that I can definitively say is in my top five favorite movies. Because I won't always rewatch Rocky. But you kind of had this nuanced take as well when you sent in what your favorite Rocky movie is versus, and you kind of compared what is the best, and you said, well, the first one's the best, but you said Rocky III as your favorite. And I think Rocky III gets overshadowed by IV a lot, because Rocky III is really driven by, it's all about Eye of the Tiger, and it's all about Mr. T in
so
reality.
So my co-host Duan, who helped me with these shows, we had a pretty interesting conversation, because I am old enough to where when HBO and pay-per-view television and all that kind of was getting its start, that's where I am a young child watching TV. So I was able to watch Rocky III on HBO or Cinemax so many times when I was a young kid. But for Duan, Rocky IV was actually that movie, and so we were kind of going back and forth, because I'm a good amount of age older than him. But once you get to where Rocky IV time is, so you're talking mid '80s, and then you go into the late '80s. Now the videotape revolution is going nuts, so you could literally watch a movie that you enjoyed every day if you wanted to. And I think that's where the Rocky IV audience, because there are people who absolutely hate that movie. There are people who absolutely love that movie. I kind of fit in the middle. Like, I think it's kind of fun, but I think it's a basically 75 minute music video.
It's like the Reagan era tied into a movie. Like
exactly.
Tied into a boxing movie with a bunch of like popcorn scenes.
And so, but I get it. Like if your introduction to Rocky Balboa was Rocky IV because of A, your age, and B, just because of the amount of media or the amount of television and channels just went crazy, then I sort of get it. But I came from before that time, a little bit before that time. So for me, that movie was Rocky III. And I just think Rocky III is a better movie than Rocky IV. So
I don't remember the first time I was exposed to any of the Rocky movies. I don't remember when the first time I actually saw any of them was, because I saw them when I was young. But I do know that I probably saw Rocky IV the most. I think it probably appeared on TV the most. It still gets the most Rocky publicity because of the Cold War-ness of it all. And that Drago was an iconic villain. It's not to say that Rocky IV isn't super fun, but I kind of like the plot of Rocky III better. The fact that Rocky gets complacent and then he gets his ass kicked and then Apollo brings him back. I think that's a much more effective plot, but like it is really funny that Rocky III and Rocky IV are very similar, whereas Rocky I and Rocky II are practically the same movie.
Mm-hmm.
But Rocky IV, just because of everything it is perceived as, overshadows Rocky III. But I want to go through all of them on this podcast. Typically, if we're covering a single movie, ask the guest, we kind of talk, is it Hall of Fame, All-Star, Starter, or Bench Warmer? For the Rocky movies and the Creeds, the two Creeds, what are Hall of Famers, what are All-Stars, what are Starters, and what are Bench Warmers for you?
So we ranked these in our epilogue episode of the Rocky podcast. So I'm going to try and remember what my rankings were. But so for me, the three Hall of Famers are the first one, the third one, and Creed I. Now, by me saying that the first one is a great film, it is, but it's not like that's my go-to when I want to watch something Rocky, because it is told at a much slower pace. It is very 70s. Depending on when you first saw this scene, there's a scene with him and Talia Shire as Adrian where, he kind of forces her a little bit to make out with him. Some people find it hard to watch, that scene hard to watch. Though I did ask my wife, and she's like, "Yeah, that wasn't that bad." I was like, "Okay, maybe I'm being a little too sensitive," but I would say those are the two Hall of Famers. I would say Creed II is an all-star, and I would say Rocky Balboa is an all-star, and then I would have Rocky II, Rocky IV as starters, and then Rocky V is the bench warmer of the group.
Yeah, Rocky V is clearly dragging ass there. The Rocky Balboa is very interesting because that movie, it really had no business being as good as it actually turned out to be, because it came almost, I think, 15 years after the last one. The plot is very implausible because, I mean, in reality, like imagine if Roy Jones Jr. got in to face whoever the top boxer is going around now. I don't pretend to know a whole lot about boxing. Yeah, but
Canelo or somebody.
Yeah, I mean, the movie itself is a ton better. That speech he gives to his son is fantastic. But
who is now the most famous TV actor on television right now?
Who is his son?
Milo Ventimiglia.
Oh, the guy from This Is Us.
Yep.
That is funny. Yeah, that movie is a lot better.
Let me tie something in with both Milo and Stallone. So I'm watching This Is Us, and I'm kind of like, why does he do the lip thing like Stallone? Like, why does he have that little lip curl like Stallone? And I was like, oh, maybe he just got it from being in Rocky Balboa. And he just kind of learned that, from Stallone, and now that's just his thing. But no, they both, I think, were born with nerve damage in their face, and that's why their lip is a little bit lazy. Like, the both of them, I don't know if that, like, I don't know if, like, that helped him get that part of Rocky Jr. or not, but, and then there's another thing, I don't know if you're a fan of This Is Us, but Stallone does a couple episode part in that show, which made me realize that when he was doing Creed 2, like before I heard anything about Creed 2, my thought was, okay, he's connected to this, and somehow I bet you we get Milo back in Creed 2, and then he shows up at the end of the movie. So I was super pumped about that.
Yeah, well, so you're doing my job for me as far as the IMDb trivia, because I want to, you did my transition for me. Let's talk, I want to hear about the other stuff, some interesting bits of trivia you found looking back on the series. What are the big things like that stood out to you with 40 years of Rocky trivia?
So I think the most interesting thing is his relationship with John Avildsen. So they do that first movie together, and it is iconic for both men. You know, John had been doing movies before Rocky. It's not like he wasn't, you know, before, but he does Rocky with Stallone, and that sort of creates, you know, both of their careers. And so there's not a lot of information about it. But before John passed, there was a book about the movies that he had done, and he was, I think he was quoted in it quite a bit of time. And it sounds like, because when it came to the Oscars, you know, that he won Best Director, it won Best Picture, and Stallone himself didn't win the Best Actor. It sounds like there may have been a little bit of jealousy there. He doesn't do Rocky II, but that's not necessarily on Stallone. It was his choice because he was dating somebody who decided to make a movie. She was a screenwriter, and so he went and directed her movie, and not Rocky II, which was probably a humongous mistake for his pocketbook. But so he's out of the franchise. He comes back for Rocky V. Stallone himself did not ask Avildsen to direct the film. I believe it was Bill Conti who played the liaison between the two men, because they hadn't really spoken. And Stallone supposedly, you know, I've seen a few quotes that he kind of would take a shot here and there about on John. And so he comes back to do Rocky V. And there's a quote, I don't know the exact quote, but it was something like to the effect of, you know, when we were doing the first Rocky, he was an actor. And when we're doing the second Rocky, he's a Hollywood star. So there's a difference in you know, doing the films with him. And so I always thought that
that's
was
kind of like the plot of Rocky III when you think about
right,
it.
Right. It's very true to that. And so, you know, there was talk about whether Avildsen will be, you know, would be involved in Rocky Balboa. And I think there was a meeting between the two men. I don't remember who set it up. But basically, Stallone told him, like, here's what I'm thinking about doing for Rocky Balboa. And Avildsen gave him some feedback, which Stallone didn't use. So then Avildsen was like, oh, I guess he didn't really like what I had to say about the film. So I think that was the most interesting thing, was just the relationship. Because those two guys are tied because of this movie, when in reality, not to say that they hated each other or they didn't get along, but there was really no relationship there after the fact. So that was like maybe the most interesting thing. But, you know, there's a couple other things. Like, you could go on, I think it's the Roger Ebert website. He's got this interview with Stallone after the first film comes out. And so then he starts talking about, well, here's some of the things that I think, you know, if this movie does well, I would love to do a sequel. And here's what the sequel and then maybe even the third one would be, which is completely different than what happened. He wanted to go to night school. So Rocky had just shocked the world. He almost beat Apollo Creed. He wants to go to night school and enter politics and eventually become the mayor of Philadelphia. And then in part three, he would be framed by the political machine because he was too honest, impeached, and wind up back in the ring at 37, broken down, but happy. So that is a clear difference
that
from what we actually
like,
saw.
That sounds like what a movie Stallone would have done in the 90s, like something like that, except instead of getting back in the ring, it's like he has to be a you know, he has to hunt down the people who framed him or did whatever. Like, it definitely seems like much more of a Stallone 90s film. It's very interesting to think about how Stallone came on the scene with Rocky versus what he is thought of now. I mean, he still thought of Rocky, but then you think about that run from like 85 to 95 ish. It's very interesting. But you mentioned that Avildsen won Best Director. I don't know if you've looked back at the 1976 Oscars much or the 1977 Oscars, but it is a Rocky beat out All the President's Men and Taxi mm-hmm. Driver. Mm-hmm. That is loaded. And Avildsen, you know, won Best Director over Alan Pakula, who directed All the President's Men. It is crazy.
The idea that this film kind of comes out of nowhere. And have you seen, there's a small 30-minute documentary that came out this summer on the 45 years of Rocky.
I watched the trailer for it right before we started recording. It is now on my list.
Okay, so it's not long. You can't even rent it. You literally have to like buy it for $2 or something. So you have to keep it if you buy it digitally. But anyway, so there's I think a lot of it is. Because one thing about Avildsen is he shot a lot of 8mm film. Like, he literally just had an 8mm camera recording constantly. So there's a ton of this great footage that he has. And one of these one of these shots is they go back to a theater that Stallone said, you know, Stallone can tell some pretty long tales as well, so we don't know sometimes truth or fiction from what he says. But supposedly this was a theater he had worked at, and so they go back to see the poster and the marquee of a place where he had worked, and like that was kind of a little cool bit in the documentary. But they also show like, here's how we knew this movie was going to be great, is because we went to these, you know, it opens in this small number of theaters. And then, you know, I don't remember if it's like in LA or something, like they saw the line was like around the corner and they were like, okay, like this tells us this thing's going to be pretty good and we got to make it more wide. But up until then, they didn't really know, right? Because it's this small film, you know, they did it for not a lot of money. And now you put it out. And like the idea of actually doing this movie, I think, was tied to something else. Like, I forget the company, UA. So UA puts it out. But I think they put it out only because it meant that they were going to get this other film, which did no business. And Rocky is actually the one that did the business. So there's all kinds of these weird things, like these weird breaks for how this movie becomes successful and how Stallone becomes successful.
It's just so weird when you look at it and you see kind of what the series became in the 80s. We talked about it with 3 and 4 and being these kind of popcorn movies that are going to kill at the box office but don't have, you know, as much substance. And you look at, again, you look at these Oscars, wins Best Picture, wins Best Director, Stallone's nominated for Best Actor, 2 nominations for Best Supporting Actor for the guys who played Mickey and Polly. Like, and it's going against All the President's Men, which is also one of the best movies of the last 40 years. Taxi Driver, one of the most iconic movies of the last 40 years. It's crazy how much the first movie holds up as this pinnacle of great cinema, and then kind of the sequels it spawned. And I really think Creed gets back to the roots of that. But I want to take a quick break. Let's hear from our sponsors, and then we'll get back with some more Rocky-centric questions. Big Screen Sports is brought to you by Indeed. Even though sports had a break, your business didn't. You have to keep moving, and that makes hiring more important than ever. Indeed is here to help. Indeed.com is the number one job site in the world because Indeed gets you the best people fast. Unlike other sites, Indeed gives you full control and payment flexibility over your hiring. You only pay for what you need, and you can pause your account at any time, and there are no long-term contracts. Plus, Indeed provides powerful tools to make your search that much easier, like sponsored jobs, which are shown to be 3.5 times more likely to result in a hire. With 73% of online job seekers visiting Indeed each month, Indeed is going to get you the important hire you need, just like they have for 3 million businesses. Right now, Indeed is offering our listeners a free $75 credit to boost your job posts, which means more quality candidates will see it faster. fast. Try out Indeed with a free $75 credit at Indeed.com/BlueWire. This is their best offer available anywhere. Go right now to Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Offer valid through December 31st. Big Screen Sports is also brought to you by our old friends at BetOnline.ag. The wait is over. Football is back. You might not be at a game this year, but you can still be in on the action at BetOnline. BetOnline going the extra mile to make sure you can get in on every possible chance to win the season. Game spreads, totals, team player, and coaching props. BetOnline gives you more options to wager than anywhere else. You can also get in on season opening bonuses today. Start off wagering on wins, division, and championship futures all day, every day. And that stuff changes week to week, so that's always open. Head to BetOnline today and take advantage of all the great sign-up bonuses. Don't forget to use promo code BLUEWIRE at BetOnline.ag. That's BLUEWIRE, all one word. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. All right, and we are back. So like I mentioned earlier, I am, and like I've mentioned pretty much any time we've covered boxing on this podcast, I am not a boxing savant. I'm very, very much a surface-level combat sports fan. I know enough that I know the guy who gets knocked out loses. So I want to kick to you on this podcast. Typically we talk about, and you know, we appreciate authenticity in sports films. And I would imagine that, you know, I again, not a boxing savant, but you look at that boxing match at the end of the first Creed Rocky match, and it is, it doesn't seem like something you'd see in real life. Is there something in this series or a particular movie that stands out as legitimately like the most authentic sports-centric, boxing-centric part of these movies?
Yeah, Doohan and I touched on this. When he comes back, like you mentioned, like 15, 16 years later with Rocky Balboa, obviously the technology in 16 years in shooting something like boxing is you know, probably 100 times better than it was the last time he shot a film. So that scene with Stallone and a guy by the name of Antonio Tarver, who plays Mason Dixon, it's really rugged. And the first Rocky, the Rocky Apollo one that you're talking about, they basically wrote down all of the choreography for that fight. So it's like Stallone's like, oh, and Rocky here with the left hand, Apollo jab, Rocky swings and misses. They like write it all out. So they're kind of learning a dance in a sense. So it's choreographed very much like a dance. In Rocky Balboa, they wanted it to be a lot more realistic, and it's gritty. And there's moments where Stallone himself at, well, gosh, how old would have Stallone been in his 50s at that point? You can tell that he's not as athletic, especially at that age, as the real life boxer in Antonio Tarver. So there are moments there where you're like, and he's not really moving well. But what they wanted to do was they wanted to make sure that those punches looked like they were landing. And in some cases, they did land. You know, there's also in Creed, the first Creed, Michael B. Jordan is fighting a real boxer, Tony Bellew. And there was moments where I think, you know, there was some real landing of punches. And Stallone tells a story about how, you know, he wanted Michael B. Jordan to understand how to get knocked out. So he basically tells, you know, he has Tony Bellew hit him for real, and he goes loopy like that. That's nuts. I don't know how you don't get in trouble for that. But
incredible method acting.
So the realism, they definitely wanted to dial it up once the technology was better, because, you know, Rocky 3, Rocky 4. Those are less realistic than even the first two Rocky fight scenes. And actually, my favorite Rocky fight scene is the second one, just because the way that they did that fight is just so memorable to me. But it is also not as realistic as they would get. But I would say Rocky Balboa, that fight scene with him and Mason Dixon, is going to be closer to actual boxing than you'll see in most of these, because A, Tarver's a real guy, and B, that was the intent. The intent was to make it look like that, you know, this was a rugged fight rather than this dance like the first Rocky.
So this might be a much tougher question. Can you point to something that is legitimately the least authentic part about the Rocky franchise,
so,
boxing-wise?
Yeah, so I have these little... We did these little nitpicks. Like, what kind of just were things that you would nitpick at the movie? And in the first Rocky, round 15 is like 75 seconds long. Like, it's so short. But, you know, there were budgetary reasons for stuff like that, I'm sure. But when you get to Rocky IV, his fight with Drago, there are small things like when every time in boxing, if the fighter's glove touches the ground, like he uses the glove to keep himself upward, that actually counts as a knockdown. And never did they ever count the glove touch as a knockdown, which happens often in Rocky IV, but they actually do in Creed II, because that becomes a big part of that storyline in Creed II, where Adonis, you know, kind of goes down on a knee and baby Drago comes at him like with this disqualification punch that puts him in the hospital. Like, so in Rocky IV, like Rocky must touch his glove to the mat like three or four different times and he gets right back up and they don't call it a knockdown and they just keep on going. But that entire movie is sort of like that in a sense. It's just over the top. And that, I mean, it's probably why it's the most successful out of all of those films too.
Yeah, I mean, the early Rocky fights, I mean, I would think everything in the original from Rocky 1 to Rocky 5 are very amped up and very dramatic. And, you know, everyone, both boxers are bleeding and it's just, it's all over the place. I think they scale things down in a very good way. It's not like the fight scenes aren't intense in the newer movies, Rocky Balboa and the two Creeds, but I think they're a little more grounded. So you kind of mentioned it, but do you have a favorite boxing match in the Rocky scene, in the Rocky series?
It is two, because I think the drama of two, it is also because, so when I first started watching these films, I've probably watched Rocky III 35 times, like just over my life, you know, every other year I probably throw it on. But so I've seen that movie so many times. I've seen the first one so many times. But for whatever reason, when I was a kid, they would not play Rocky II on cable. And it would just not come on for the longest time. I don't know why. Maybe because it didn't rate as well with people and people didn't watch it as much. So when I, you know, finally, Stallone had put out, you know, the series on videotape multiple times, on DVD multiple times, now on Blu-ray multiple times. But one of the first times he put all five films on videotape, I was probably a teenager, and I had just bought them, and I was like, okay, I just want them. And I went back to watch Rocky II, because that was the movie that I had only seen like once or twice, and I'd seen the other ones so many more times. And so that one was always more fresh to me. So watching that fight, and like I don't know why, but I was so dialed into that fight because I hadn't seen it 100 times. I hadn't memorized it, you know, like the Rocky III fights that I could sort of call out every punch because I saw that movie so much. But I also think the storytelling, he finally wins the title, the way that the dramatic, both guys go down in the 15th round and one guy gets up with 1 second left and the other guy can't get up. That whole thing is awesome. But, the other thing is both men are like in tremendous shape. Like you look at Rocky 1 to Rocky 2 and you see Sly's body, you're like, okay, he's kind of getting serious. And then in Rocky 3, he's like a Marvel character. But, Carl Weathers is jacked to the gills in Rocky 2 as well. So there was something there where I think those guys knew that in order to do better than that first fight, that they had to kind of be in better shape and just make it even more dramatic. And so I that fight has always stuck with me as the best one.
And that's also how the 80s started trending. It was no longer like big hulking schlubs with cigarettes, smoking a bunch of cigarettes during movies. It suddenly became muscles and, you know, bodies covered in baby oil. It became Schwarzenegger, Stallone, Carl Weathers. Like, you think about the iconic Weathers and Stallone, or Weathers and Schwarzenegger.
Predator. Yeah.
Yeah. I think for me that my favorite fight scene in the Rocky and Creed is the first fight in Creed. It's like the two round. It's filmed like it's a single shot, but it's not a single shot. But that one where the camera is just kind of revolving around Adonis, and then the guy he's fighting, the son of one of the gangsters from Dark Knight.
Yeah, he's also a real boxer. His name is Gabe Rosado. I think his name was like Leo or something in that movie. So, you know, he's a real guy too. So I'm sure that helped Michael B. Jordan, because Michael B. Jordan, he definitely got in shape for the role. And by Creed 2, I'm sure he felt he was even a better athlete slash boxer. But they put real boxers in that movie. You got Andre Ward, who's maybe the, you know, one of the three best boxers of the last 10 years. And then, like I said, Tony Bellew. And then, yeah, Gabe Rosado was in that movie too. So he had really good people to work with for sure to make those scenes look good.
Yeah, I mean, that I remember the first time I watched that boxing match, I was floored. Like, I was stuck on my couch. That is the one movie I remember where I was, who I was watching it with. Like, that scene floored me. Another tough question. We're just gonna fire off, you know, the highlights of the Rocky series. Who is the best villain in the series? Because this is a series that is pretty much every boxing movie needs a big bad.
Yeah, so I think this is an interesting question, because I think most people would say, oh, you know, Drago was the evil Russian guy, and
he's always the first one who comes to mind.
He's the most memorable character, right? He's the most memorable character bad guy. When I was, when Rocky III came out, I was still young, and Clubber Lang really scared me. Like, he physically scared me. Like, I was fearful of watching all of his scenes. But if you like, the great thing about Carl Weathers is Carl Weathers is not only a really good actor, but Carl Weathers believes he's the greatest actor who has ever lived. Like, that guy has so much confidence. Like, you know, there's the story of him reading for the Apollo role, and he's reading with Stallone. And so he's doing his lines, and he tells, I don't know who he told, maybe it was Avildsen or something. He's like, you know, I would do a better job if you gave me an actual real actor to do these scenes with. And he's literally doing it with Stallone. like he doesn't know that this is Stallone's, you know, going to be the leading man. So that's like the type of confidence Carl Weathers has had. I think, even though people are going to say Drago, more than likely, they may say Clubber Lang, Carl Weathers as Apollo Creed is, in my book, the second best character in that series. And personally, I think he, you know, we have this thing on in our series where we gave the MVP, like, which character was the MVP of the movie? I think he steals the second movie. He is so much a part of that third movie, because when he does the what we call in wrestling the baby face turn. But he, without that Apollo Creed character, I don't know what that movie can do. Can it get to a third film? I don't know. So I'm always going to go Apollo Creed. I think he is one of the best antagonists in movie history because of those first two films.
I will stand with that, because I think you're right. I think it is fair to say that he is the most entertaining character in the series. He doesn't have the depth that Rocky Balboa does, or the longevity of Rocky Balboa, but he is very entertaining. Carl Weathers is on one in every movie. He's really going for it. The next thing I have for you is something that is also, you know, every boxing movie, every combat sports movie, almost every sports movie needs a big bad. It also needs training montage.
Mm-hmm.
For Rocky, it's like the pre-fight training sequences. Do you have a favorite?
This is so funny, because you're like right up our alley of our podcast, because we would talk about the training montage and then rank them. And I think this is interesting, because like I said, Rocky IV is a 75-minute music video. So there are technically two different training montages split up by Adrian joining him in Russia. So that is like, if you take out that that part. Like, it's just one 10-minute long training montage.
Plus, that includes Drago in there as well.
Oh, yeah. Drago.
Doing the steroids and running around the track and being hooked up to machines.
By the way, I've never saw anyone shoot steroids in their shoulder. Like, that was kind of weird. Like, usually you hear people, you know, shooting them in their glutes. But in the shoulder, that one looked painful. I was like, is that going into the bone? What's going on there?
Especially when he's going to be shirtless for that fight. Like, you don't want, you don't ever, why is Drago covered in track marks?
So I will go back to Rocky II again because, and it's all because of the setup. So part of, like, a lot of Rocky II is long and slow, and it's set up that way for the finish, which is Rocky's wife delivers their baby, and she was in a coma, and they had, right before she got in a coma, they were arguing about whether he should fight or not, and she didn't want him to fight. So she wakes up out of this coma and he goes, you know, I've been thinking about it. You know, if you don't want me mixing with Creed. And she just looks at him and she goes, win. And then Mick gets all excited and then starts screaming and groveling. And then you see this light come in Rocky's eyes. And he had been doing some training previously, but you could tell he was just out of it. And from the second that montage kicks, that's like a 30-minute like masterpiece. The first hour and a half is a little rough to get through for Rocky II, but you put that second, that last 30 minutes of Rocky II up against any 30 minutes in the franchise, and it stands up. I don't know if it's the best or the second best or top five or whatever, but it stands with any 30 minutes in the franchise, and that is kicked off by the training montage, which ends up with him hurtling over park benches with 500 kids running with him up the steps to in Philadelphia. So that to me still wins. I mean, it's arguable, right? There's tons of people who are inspired by different parts of these training montages, but that's always the one for me.
It is hard to pick over Rocky, the original running up the steps, gonna fly now's hitting. And when you watch it in retrospect, it's the first time he gets up there, and now that's where the statue is. That one's tough. I am going to respectfully not answer. This is a tough question for me. A typical category we do on this episode, the Lenny Harris Pinch Hitter Award for Best Supporting Character.
Mm.
In this series, I would say anyone who isn't Rocky or Adonis Creed, you could argue Apollo Creed as well. Because he is such a vital part of these movies. He doesn't feel, even in three, he doesn't feel that support. He feels like he's right there with Rocky because, you know, but I guess you could say Mick would be in the same way. But we haven't talked much Mick. We haven't talked much Polly. We barely talked Adrian. There's all the big bads. We haven't talked Tessa Thompson, her character in Creed, shout out. So who's the best supporting character for you?
That's a great question. And I think Mickey's character, there are some rough moments with Mickey. Like, he was originally written to be racist. And there is a comment that he makes in Rocky III that I would take to be sort of racist. And same with Pauly. Like, so, like, when I think about how great those characters are, there's a little bit of a weird thing where I kind of get turned off. But, you know, both great actors, great performances. I'm actually going to go a little bit more low key. So Tony Burton, who plays Duke in the first five films. So he is Apollo's trainer in Rocky I. In Rocky II, he's also the trainer, but he's trying to talk Apollo out of facing Rocky a second time. Like, we already won, let's move on. In Rocky III, he's with Apollo in Rocky's corner. And then in Rocky IV, he is now Rocky's trainer because Rocky lost Mick and he lost Apollo. And
he has the throw in the damn towel moment.
He's got throw in the damn towel, but he's also got the moment when they're in Russia and he tells Rocky, you know, Apollo was like a son to me, but now it's your turn. And he really inspires Rocky. And then, you know, in the corner, Rocky's getting his face kicked in by Drago. And he's like, look, like he's bleeding. He's not a machine. He's a man. And he's like, you know, no pain, all your power, all your love, put it in. And so to me, the best part or the best character in Rocky IV is actually Duke. I think Duke makes the entire movie. And so he would be one that I would go with, because like you said, Apollo, Mick, Paulie, Adrian, those are all really big, big parts. Duke's a little bit of a smaller part, but as far as his, you know, for your definition, the pinch hitter role, or the, you know, the role who gets the most bang for their buck or for their TV time or for their movie time, I think Duke has got to be right up there for the entire franchise.
I mean, he makes the most of all his work, and he is in as many movies as anyone except Stallone, because he makes it. He lives all the way through Rocky Balboa,
yes.
and then he passes away. My final question for you, final thing I want to touch on, is a typical category we do before, more restore, but would you rather see another Creed sequel, Michael B. Jordan reprise the role, a Rocky reboot, because that's, it wouldn't surprise me if that's a thing, or a prequel, so that it's Rocky right, you know, before he fights Spider or whatever his name is at the beginning of Rocky.
Spider-Rico, yeah. I would say... So there's a little bit of a qualification, because I think they're going to do a Creed 3. I think they may try to entice Michael B. Jordan to direct Creed 3 as a way to get him back. The problem with Creed 3 is, like, who's the new bad guy? I've heard rumors of Deontay Wilder, who's one of the top heavyweights in boxing today, as the son of Clubber Lang. I'm like, come on, we can't do that again after you just did the son of Drago. So if that is the idea, I do not want to see a Creed 3. And then I would lean more towards the prequel. And so Stallone says a lot of stuff, and not a lot of it really comes to fruition. He's got a couple of ideas that he's come public with, and one of them was to either do, I don't remember if he was thinking of doing a movie or a Netflix show on this story about Rocky as the trainer finds a child who is an immigrant, and maybe even an illegal immigrant. And so there's this backstory with Rocky being a mentor person for this young person. That is kind of interesting. So we get to revisit the Rocky Balboa character again as he's an older person. I don't know if I want to see him without Michael B. Jordan, though, because Michael B. Jordan is such a good actor. He has pulled out two of Stallone's greatest performances in the last 20 years. So I don't know if I want to see Stallone without him, and so that's kind of the negative. But I did to reboot this. Like, I mean, technically every underdog sports movie is a reboot of Rocky. So
very true.
But you know, I would not want to see them redo characters. You know, you could do a movie inspired by Rocky. That's totally fine. But to do the characters again, I think that would be a huge mistake. And yeah, so those would be my rankings, but there's qualifications in both of them too. A prequel, I think, would be super interesting, and this is what Doohan and I talked about, but to do it as like a Netflix series where you get, because in a series, you know, sort of like Cobra Kai with the Karate Kid movie, you just get to tell that story a little bit longer, and you get to go in depth with way more characters. You don't have the restraints of a 2-hour film. I think that would be an interesting way to go if you really wanted to tell a longer version of, you know, the Rocky, you know, prequel story. I think that would be really cool.
Because that has some legs, because Mick does that thing where he, you know, he tells him that he actually had talent. So at one point he had promise, and then he turns into this guy who's just
a leg breaker.
Exactly. So that could have some run, and you could do some some cool, you know, hat tips to the original movie, the rest of the series, something like that. I think that has some legs. I would also like to see Creed 3. I think the thing that the Rocky series kind of struggled with is how do you keep a boxing character? It's what the character himself struggled with, and it's what the series struggled with. How do you keep them hungry?
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, UNIFYD, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE system.